Please stand now. The opening hymn is 410. This morning of the Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, begins on page 355 of the Red Prayer Books. Page 355, as we remain standing for a little bit, at the top of the page. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be you in heaven, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open. All desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts this morning by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you now.
And also with you.
Thank you. As we remain standing, let us pray together the collect for this week, the 15th Sunday after the day of Pentecost, on one of those bulletin inserts, the contemporary version. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated now, if possible, for the first reading by Ms. Galanis.
Reading from Proverbs, beginning with the first chapter, verses 20 to 33. Wisdom cries out in the streets. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm for this morning is a portion of Psalm 19, found in the middle of the bulletin insert, or on page 606 of the prayer book, in the middle of the bulletin insert. I'll read the first half of each verse up to the asterisk. Then you all please read together the second half. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another.
And one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language,
and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again.
Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, and justice in the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear, and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter far than honey in your own.
By them also is your servant enlightened. Who can tell how often he offends?
Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me.
Then shall I be whole in this town, and innocent of great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my strength, my redeemer.
Please remain seated now for the Epistle to James.
The second reading is from James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. For my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does the spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hymn 675.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowds with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. And for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Be seated if possible. So, yesterday evening I went for a drive. It had been a long week last week, and I just wanted a break from funerals and weddings and computers that didn't work and everything else. So I just went for a break. So I just went for a drive, and tell you the truth, I was actually trying to get to a wedding reception, but I ran out of time. I went driving out the Steese Highway yesterday evening, and it was wonderful. Most of the time I just live in this hamster wheel of the church, the hospital, and Safeway. So it was nice just to get out of town. And it was incredible driving down the road. And the beauty of those trees just spread out. That light, those birch trees, just gold and yellow. And I never made it to the wedding reception because I had to keep stopping just to look and go, "Wow." It's a good thing there wasn't that much traffic, or it would have been tricky. But every 10 feet, I was pulling the car over again just to look. It was It was just amazing. All that light, all that beauty, all those trees, just, you could hear them singing. It was amazing, all the beauty. Oh, but those trees were singing. All that beauty out there. All that beauty all around us. All of their song. All of the noise they're making. And yet, not unlike what we just read in the psalm, not saying a word. All that those trees, all the beauty of this time of year, all that it says out there, and yet it doesn't say a word. We read in the Psalms, although they have no words or language and their voices aren't heard, their sound has gone out. David wasn't talking about birch trees, but he could have been. All the singing, all the sound, the music, the beauty, and yet not saying a word. And not saying a word because there's a deeper language, there's deeper sounds than the words we fill up our lives with. There's a deeper sound. The first lesson talks about wisdom, lady wisdom. Notice wisdom is a woman in this passage. Lady wisdom cries in the streets of the city, but no one is listening. I will pour out my thoughts to you, she says, but no one is paying attention. There's a deeper sound. There's a deeper language. There's a deeper going on in all this stuff. And yet the first step is to listen for it. The first step is to be quiet. Shh. Just to be quiet. My favorite story that I tell myself at least several times a day, Arsenius is in Constantinople in the 4th century and he's having midlife crisis or something and doesn't quite know what to do and doesn't know who he is or who God is, and he steps out on the balcony of his apartment and he looks up at the night sky and says, God, if you're really there, what do I do? If you're really there, if you're really a God, tell me something. And God says, Arsenius, shut up. Quit talking so much. Shut up, Arsenius. The first step is always, shut up. The first step is to listen. Anybody that hangs out in the woods a lot, you know, are the quietest people you know. The first step is to listen. That's why James in that epistle talks about the dangers of the tongue. And you guys got to be thankful because near the end of the night, I was looking at stuff on the internet and said, one of the suggestions was, it's important to always have something visual for people to look at during a sermon. And they suggested going to the butcher shop and bringing in a... Everybody's had the same reaction all morning when I said that. Oh, God, I'm glad he didn't do that. Just one big tongue up there. But anyway. But that's why James talks about the tongue. That's why he says, shut up. That's why he says, be quiet. Wisdom cries in the streets and says, no one is listening. Wisdom cries, but no one hears my voice. Lady wisdom, you can even translate it as. The early church loved this idea of lady wisdom. Constantine builds the greatest church in Christianity in Constantinople and names it Hagia Sophia, holy wisdom. For Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. Wisdom, to be wise, cries. And the first step is to shut up and listen. To listen to what the sound is out there, the deep sound underneath. And so, if we but listen, what do we hear? What do we hear? The gospel this morning. Jesus and his friends are walking along the road to Caesarea Philippi, which is foreign country. It's pagan country. It's not home ground. It's new country. And every time I read this passage, I always think of them sitting around a campfire late at night. Maybe this time of year, the way you do. Just camped alongside the road, around a campfire. Night. Campfire there, the wood crackling, flames going up, sparks in the sky, against the stars. And Jesus and Matthew and Peter and them sit around the fire, talking quietly the way you do when you sit around a campfire. Because the first step is always to think about other people, because it's love your neighbor as yourself. Because the first step is always to think about other people. And because our actions and our words affect others. Notice later on in the story, our Lord doesn't get after Peter until he sees others are listening to him. So the first question comes across the fire. Our Lord looks at Peter and them and says, "So what do you hear people saying? Who do they say that I am?" "Oh, well, some say this, some say that, some say this." Then silence again, sound of the wood crackling. Bright orange flames there in the fire. Sparks flying the way they do against night sky. And there on the other side of the fire, the Lord sits. You can kind of see him, but you can't see him because of the fire and the smoke and that stuff. So you know he's there, but you can't quite see him. And then comes this next question, you see. Across the campfire comes the voice saying, "What about you? Who do you say that I am? What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And I think I am always sitting at that campfire. And I think I am always hearing that question. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And I think that question comes to me all the time. And I think that question comes to you all the time. And I think that question comes to the whole earth all the time. What about you? Who do you say that I am? Floats across the darkness into the deep places of our hearts if we but listen. Who do you say that I am? And we answer that question not with our words, but with the way we live our lives. Who do you say that I am? In a little bit we'll say the Nicene Creed. All the way through that creed, it never talks about we believe in Jesus because he said this, that, or the other. It talks about we believe in Jesus the Christ because of what he did. We answer the question, who do you say I am? By the way we live our lives. Who do you say that I am? Come to a funeral here, which isn't hard to do. And when people stand up to tell stories, they don't talk, for the most part, about things they said, the person said. They talk about what the person did. Who do you say that I am? Comes that question across the fire. Comes that question every time I face a situation and don't know what to do. Comes that question every time I completely screw up something, because as James says, all of us make many mistakes. Every time I mess up, comes that question, who do you say that I am? Comes that question Every time that church bell rings across the Tanana Valley, as it has since 1904, who do you say that I am? Comes that question. Every time you walk in that door and see that great wooden altar behind me, who do you say that I am? Comes that question. Every time you step out in the fall time and look at the wonder of birch trees on a hill, who do you say that I am? Comes that question again and again and again. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Comes that question every time I face a situation I have no control over. Because that's all a cross is, of course. We don't have control over crosses. We don't have control over things. Every time I face a situation I have no control over. So ask Hillary after the service how well Scott did on Thursday when the computer didn't work and he had no control over anything. Because the computer decided to work in Swedish or something. I don't know. It wasn't working. And I just sat back and said, oh, this is lovely. It's all right. I'll accept this. Ask Hillary after how I did on Thursday. I was a wash on Thursday because I didn't have any control over it. This is just a warning that you've heard this lesson now saying, take up your cross and follow me. That sometime today you're going to have a situation you don't have any control over. And I hope you do a better job than I did on Thursday because I was ready to shoot the sucker, I tell you. Every time we face a situation we don't have control over, crosses don't have to be big dramatic things. It can be as simple as a computer that you don't have control over. Comes that question, who do you say that I am? And the path to answering that question is always, gosh, 3 days after 9/11, it's always sacrificing for others. Who do you say that I am? Every time I sacrifice for someone else, I'm answering that question. Who do you say that I am? Every time someone asks something of me or you, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Every time I dare to make a new beginning, I answer that question, who do you say that I am? Every time the sun comes up, and even though I may not be as enthusiastic as the psalm was, yay, it's the sun, hoo-ah, new day. Even if I dare to make that new beginning of a new day, I answer the question, who do you say that I am? Every time I don't think I can go on, but somehow I manage to, one step in front of the other, then I answer that question, who do you say that I am? I think the Lord Christ asks that question deep in our hearts every moment of the day. Every beat of our hearts, that question always comes. Until finally, and notice before that, as far as I know, the Lord Jesus never asks the other question. He never says, so who do you think you are? Which I may have said to people, at least thought. He never says, so who do you think you are? And he doesn't ever ask that because he knows the answer to the question. You are the salt of the earth to bring out the flavors of God in the world. you, even you who make many mistakes, you are the light of the world. We answer that question by our lives, even though we make many mistakes. We answer that question every time we come together in this place. Next month will be the 105th anniversary of the first service in this church, when Archdeacon Stuck ended the sermon by saying, "I made the claim for this church that it meant more light for the city of Fairbanks." You are the light of the world. He never asks us who we are, because he knows. But he asks us again and again, "Who do you say that I am?" Until finally the question is answered. Until finally the dark winter of death comes over us. And then, in that silence, comes not the question, but the answer. "I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord." That's when the question gets answered. Amen. So I invite you to stand then, as we continue with that Nicene Creed, page 358. "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come.
Amen."
The prayers of the people are Form 3, page 387. Page 387. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church, especially Adolf and John and Robert and Morgan and Daisy and Lynn and Wendy and Margaret and Bonnie and Rodney and Michael and Robin and Yvonne and Vernon, who were baptized this day across the years here, grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, including Catherine, the presiding bishop, and Rustin, our assisting bishop, priests and deacons, we pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed, especially Timothy, Zachary, George, Cliff, Emil, and Stuart, eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. I ask your prayers this morning for the flooded communities and families of the interior now that fall is here. For Seymour and Alexander, Paul, Kitson, Isaac, Kristen, Bonnie, Howard, Audrey, Linda, Harold, Beverly, Sharon, Louise, Rosemary, Barbara, Felicia, Julian, Rita, Sherry, Maggie, Henry and Dolly, Vince, Elaine, Denise, Mary, Phyllis, Elmerline, Arthur, Hannah, Candy, Carly, Mona, Nancy, Judy, Catherine, Matt, Nina, Joan, Rolf, Kathy, Byron, Alice, Isaiah, Norma, Frank, Dorothy, Richard, Roxy, Arnold, Caleb, all those traveling, all those out hunting, all those in recovery, all those serving overseas and their families, all our families in Denali Center, the Pioneer Home, the Correctional Centers, the other homes and programs, all those grieving, all those we now name, either silently or loud. I ask your prayers also today for Jim and Pat, who were married here, and everybody else that was part of weddings yesterday in the Fairbanks area. Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and what we've asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Back on page 360, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will. Almighty God, have mercy on you and forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Everyone gets to jump to their feet, unless you're over the age of 70. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share that with the rest of the salt. So if everyone's vaguely peaceful, we can begin doing announcements. We started this new thing of the vestry doing announcements. So Helen will be... Howard, who's on the vestry, will begin the announcements, and then others may have some more announcements to add.
So, I have, Kathy will talk about the Sunday school afterwards. Or do you want to do it now?
No, it's fine.
Okay. The announcements are pretty brief. The Daughters of Cana meeting at 1 o'clock in the library. And then on Wednesday, Marilyn Daga is being ordained to the priesthood in Minan at 7 o'clock in the tribal hall, and everyone is invited. So consequently, there will be no choir practice, and there will be no Wednesday night service that evening, because people will be in Minan. And if you need a ride to go to Minan, come to the parish hall between 5 and 5:30 that evening. And hopefully people who will provide rights will also come. And then, and then next Sunday is the Feast of St. Matthew. And St. Matthew is our patron and friend. It's a traditional harvest meal covered with a covered dish held after the 11:15 service. Bring fruit to share, particularly fruits of the earth that you've either caught or grown. I love the way that people say they catch a moose, but when I catch some of you, don't. When you catch a moose, you don't. The fourth thing is not a parade. So anyway, bring one souvenir or photograph of your summer to share, and they'll be tapped on the wall to give thanks to God for them. The endowment board grants will be announced at that occasion. And the health ministry has a long description of the H1N1 shots will not be available until October, end of October, at the clinics. Currently, the Safeway is providing regular flu shots, but I went over there and I found that they only do it at certain times, so you want to find out when they're going to do it. And you are supposed to. Everybody's supposed to cough into their elbow rather than cough into their hand. And they are supposed to wash their hands very frequently. And Anne was saying that you have to wash your hands and say happy birthday twice. And I said, well, happy birthday to you, 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 happy birthday to you. That is how long you're supposed to wash your hands. Or, if you don't do that, you can use the hand sanitizer in the front of the church. And there's apparently another one somewhere.
Right behind the church.
Oh. they're going to have a temperature of 100 or more until the temperature has gone down. And limit contact if you have symptoms. And apparently, I know that people at the emergency room don't want to be flooded with people for no reason, so take care. You really need to go to the emergency room. Now, Patty, would you like to tell us about the Sunday school?
Sure, we have a little meeting before this service to meet with people. Maybe make sure that you all do so actually walk up to the front. And I'll meet with people after this service too if you want to. You'll see some orange papers like this out, like on the snack area, for people to sign up if you can help. And there's some decisions to be made. Like, one thing we're talking about is transportation. Another thing is whether we want to use curriculum that goes along with what the church is doing every week, or whether we want to go with themes based on what the kids are doing. We did agree that the first Sunday school will be September 27th, and I definitely need some help for that. And this year, instead of asking people to volunteer for the whole year, we're just saying maybe you could volunteer for a section of time. So I'll meet people after this if you want more details, and if you'd like to sign up, there's some sheets in the parish hall.
Okay. So if you'd like to help with Sunday school, and everybody can help with Sunday school, talk to Patty afterwards, da-da-da. This stuff, which I know people have been using all morning, is up here so you can clean your hands. And
after passing the feast, everybody should use the sanitizer.
Well, you can, or on your way up to communion. And I
should we mention for those who might not know what they are?
And we're blessing prayer shawls all morning. Those are prayer shawls that will be given to people. And if you have a space in your... I know people that want to go to Nenana but don't have a car that they trust. So if you have space and you're going to drive to Nenana, come by the church between 5 and 5:30. And if you'd like to go to Nenana but you don't have a ride or you think you might get lost, you know, and end up in Delta, I don't know. Come by the church. I just been telling everybody come by the church between 5 and 5:30. As far as I know, that's all the announcements. Are there any visitors and newcomers, you won't get an award if you're a visitor, because I forgot to go to the store. But are there any visitors that would like to introduce themselves?
I'm Doug Blankensop. I grew up here in Scotland. I've been in this church for 10, 30 years.
Well, you get candy for standing up, but the real award I forgot to get yesterday. Anybody else? Are there any birthdays or anniversaries? Really? Nobody's got a birthday? Bella's got a birthday?
Not my birthday.
What's my kid's birthday?
My godson, Glenn.
For Glenn?
Panika.
Mm-hmm. Who's like 4 or 5 now.
She'll be 19. Tuesday.
Really?
Yes. Oh,
let's pray. Some of us just got older real fast. As we pray for, who are we praying for?
Glenn,
Bella's godson, and Tanika. And Sister Doreen.
My grandson, Calvin.
For Calvin? Calvin?
Calvin.
Calvin. The birthday prayer we'll use is page 830. Prayer 50. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants, Tanika,
Glenn,
and Calvin, as they all begin another year. Grant that we may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord of wonder and delight, who gives us gift upon gift. Behold the gift of your friends for whom we've prayed, whom you brought into your creation this time of year, in the season of beauty and adventure. Let the grace of your Spirit be with them always. The light of your love, keep them safe. The songs of angels and grandmothers sing them to sleep at night. And your blessing go before them, clearing the trail. In your name, Lord Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Happy birthday. Of course, Tanika's mother's only 20, so. If there aren't any other announcements, birthdays, anniversaries, remember the words of our Lord, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The offertory hymn is 529. with a great thanksgiving, page 361. The Lord be with you.
And with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us each in your image and have called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices now with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven who forever are singing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Prayer continues now. You may sit or kneel if you wish, or remain standing, whatever helps you to pray.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became the subjects of evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only eternal Son, to share in our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to bring us back to you, the God, the Father of all. He outstretched his arms on the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night that he was handed over suffering death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, eat this, all of you. This is my blood, my body of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for me. Take this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will not come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father. In this sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood, and new unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and in peace. And on the last day, with all your saints, bring us to the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, and as Bella Jean leads us first in our language.
What can do no what on between thee? Not so I not can do no what hunky to end.
good son, oh, and particularly. Go get the done thy good son, no what cannot else. Go to Guandu, good son, no what you know, and she. Go hard you, let them need me. Go get all the I quite watch it. Shook a quick engine. Amen.
We're bold to pray with her, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ dies for you, and feed on Him in your hearts now by faith with thanksgiving. This is the Lord's feast. He invites all to come and share. No one is turned away. We have the honor of being your servants, servants He last. So we invite the front pews to come forward first to receive.
Thank you. Bye.